How's everybody doing? Praise the Lord. Now, we are in this series called Apostle Creed. Okay, so we are saying that this Apostle Creed captures the essence, okay, of what the early apostles has taught in the scripture. In fact, this Apostle Creed is the best summary, okay, or is the most proven, okay, summary of the gospel in the last two millennium, okay, and the different denominations, okay, the Orthodox, the Roman Catholic, the Protestant, okay, all believe in this Apostle Creed, and some of the churches they actually recite it, okay, almost every services right now. Okay, now, in other words, Apostle Creed is an ancient and yet is honored statement of faith, okay, for most believers. All right, now, last Sunday, I want to capture a bit for last Sunday when I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there are part that I think I wanted to say it. Okay, now, so allow me just spend a few minutes just to talk about Jesus is the Christ, that I say that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Okay, sometimes some of this, if we find hard, okay, even to explain, okay, what it means. So in that Apostle Creed, we say that I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So some of this, many times in our conversation, or when we meet friends, we find hard, okay, to explain that. Is it true? Now, this is a very important statement, and yet we don't talk much, okay, about it. Now, what does that mean? This means that Jesus was born, and this is God's miraculous, extraordinary birth. Now, in fact, in the Old Testament, God already prepared, okay, what is to come. If you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, how could it be possible? Sarah, 100 years old, we want to meet Jesus already, all right? So, now, this 100 years old and delivered a baby, or 90 years old, and Abraham is 100 years old and delivered a baby. I mean, for many of us, right? Hey, my great-great-grandmother just delivered a baby. How could it be possible? So, God in the Old Testament has already prepared, okay, in the sense that this is God's pure miracle, okay, which is beyond human understanding. So, it's not possible for human, but it is possible, okay, with God. In other words, this pure, okay, miracle cannot be explained, cannot be reproduced in that sense. So from there, we come to the New Testament, you have Zechariah and Elizabeth, also at an old age. And then it comes, okay, to Joseph and Mary. So when we say Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that means we declare that Jesus is fully God. Otherwise, he cannot save you. Otherwise, there's no point for him to go to the cross. All right, if he's just pure human, he's just another man died. All right, now when we say Jesus, who is born of the Virgin Mary, that means we declare that Jesus is fully man. So Jesus is fully God and fully man. So this statement, this creed, is very, okay, important. If we choose to not believe in the virgin birth, then we actually deny the divinity of Christ. Okay, that means deny who that Jesus is God. So, which means if you deny that, you're just saying that Jesus is just human being and not the Son of God. But Jesus is fully God, okay, fully man, all right? So, we must not shy away, okay, from this reality. Now, someone said this famous remark, okay, regarding Trinity, as we talk about Trinity, all right? Before I quote this, okay, now, this is Wayne Grudem, all right? Some of you probably like to study a bit more, okay? This, he wrote the book called Systematic Theology. All right, it's very thick. If you want, I can send you the digital one. Okay, you can read just systematic, study about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I know Samuel Chong is reading, all right, praise God. Okay, now, so do that. If you have the time, read that, all right, now. So he said this, God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person is fully God, and there is one God. Okay, Grudem 226, that means in the systematic theology, turn to that page, all right, now. Okay, now, as I was saying, that this is a famous remark as regard to Trinity. Don't know how many of you try to explain Trinity, all right, now. Those days we used to say the egg, lah, the water, lah, but today I realize that's not a good example, all right, now. This famous remark said this, if you try to explain it, explain Trinity, you will lose your mind. If you deny it, you will lose your soul. Oh, okay. Now, when we look at what Wayne Grudem, okay, the theologian says, okay, in other words, okay, it means like that. Okay, I just put in words so that we won't miss out anything. Now, God is eternally one essence, yet exists eternally in three distinct persons. Okay, He is not one God and three mode. No, He is one God but three persons, three distinct, revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, distinguishable but indivisible in essence, co-equal in nature, attributes, and glory, so that each is fully God, yet not apart from the others, for each coheres in the others, without hierarchy in essence, yet hierarchical in function, with each person fulfilling distinct roles. The divine Trinity is neither one person revealed in three different modes, not three gods in union, but is one God in three persons. All right, where do I capture this? Okay, in our Leadership 215, recently in our pastoral meeting of every nation. So I'll be put in charge of the Leadership 215. Okay, this is the minimal theological standard that we want every pastors and every leaders, all right, to have. All right, so we're going to work on that. Now, if this is too much work, let me just summarize like this. There's one God, not three. Each God is three. God is three person, not one. Each person is fully God, not lesser strain of deity. All right, it's not that Holy Spirit is better than Jesus. No, it doesn't mean like that. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is God. Okay, the Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, someone came up with this. It's just marvelous. All right. So with that, Apostle Creed declares. So when we look at Apostle Creed, right? We look at Apostle Creed. There are three major portions. So that's where Apostle Creed is about the God the Father, Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Are y'all still with me? All right. Not going. What I was saying is going back to past your head, all right? So there are three sections. God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. And then you have, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, the Lord, all right? Our Lord. Then the third one is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So today I'm going to talk about, I believe in God, the Holy Spirit. Does it help you so far? All right, huh? I just try to see you, some of you like ting, 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 ting. Okay, very fine or not. All right, now, let's move on. So get a bit more deep as I preach today. All right, now, let me ask you this question. Grade yourself, okay, in your own manner. Grade yourself from 1 to 10. 1 is the lowest, 10 is the highest, all right? Or you may think that maybe not highest, maybe it's 99.99, okay, lah, can also. All right, now, let me ask you this question. If you as a friend... Okay, you as a friend, how much do you know your best friend? Do you have a best friend? Okay. Then only you can decide, right? If you say it's one, then it's not your best friend. Okay. So I hope it's like 8, 9, 10, that kind of thing, all right? Got it, huh? Now, how many of you have more than 5? Well, I can be my best friend, okay? The rest, I don't know. Okay, all right. Okay, so same again now. What about this? You have a husband and wife. How much do you know your spouse? I better say 10, man. 99.99. Okay. Only me and myself, only the rest, what happened? Okay, all right now. Last question. This is very important. You better decide, okay? You as a believer, how much do you know the Holy Spirit? Wow. Is this something that you can think about? So about the Trinity. So for many people, the Holy Spirit seems silent or forgotten, okay, member of the Godhead. All right. Now, sometimes in the family also the same. All right. When you have two sons and they are so prominent, okay, probably named as Adam and Asher, okay, AA, huh? Then everybody knows, okay, Adam and Asher. But they actually have a younger brother. But nobody knows about the younger brother. See, you have a younger brother, man? Yeah. What is his name? His name is Anthony. Oh, Tony, oh! Sometimes when we think about God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. It's like saying that, do you know God, the Father? Yes. Okay. Do you know the Son? Oh, yes, I know him better. Okay. But what about the Holy Spirit? Okay. Let me tell you, the Apostle Creed will never let you pass this. Okay. So the Apostle Creed helps us, okay, to remind and to know that I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we think about the Holy Spirit or the subject of Spirit, you know, sometimes when we watch movie too much, Spirit. Oh, yo, God, the ghost of Spirit. Sometimes our mind went towards to the other side, right now. And for the longest time, even in the church world or the Christian world, right now, how people project the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes it was just mystical. Okay, sometimes it's just weird, right now. We believe in the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, okay, we believe in the giftings, all that, all right. But sometimes it can be like there's a season where they call it the laughing spirit. And then you see people crying, laughing, then cry, laughing, cry. I mean, that's move of the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes there was season where, wow, gold dust line, wow, dust everywhere. And then they said they got a golden teeth. Well, I don't know where it comes from. All right. Sometimes it can become like so mystical in a sense, okay, mysterious, and what's actually happening. Now, but I want to say this, okay, all those are the move of the Holy Spirit, but at the same time, okay, whatever that it is, I want to encourage you, although sometimes it is so mystical, but I want you to be missional. Right? Sometimes we can caught up, okay, with all this happening or all this spectacular, but we forgot that we need to reach the lost. All right, okay, yeah, are you with me? Okay, now, in Acts 19, this is Apostle Paul. All right, now, Apostle Paul is show us whenever he goes, he will want to find out, okay, whether you have baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God, or Jesus in that sense, when he left earth, okay, he told the disciples that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to empower us, all right, now. So this is an account in Acts chapter 19, okay, about Paul, okay, coming to Corinth. And when he came to Corinth, okay, he found some disciples. So he was traveling. He has all this mission journey that he's going. Then he found this disciple, okay, in this place and say, hey, guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? No, in all other questions, this was a question that Paul asked. So if I were to come to you, have you received the Holy Spirit? You'll be wondering. What are you trying to say, Pastor? All right, now. So here was Paul. And then they said this. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Huh? Tony, oh, okay, all right. Now, so they said they have not even heard. Then Paul said this. Into what then were you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John's baptism with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one, okay, who was to come after him, that is Jesus. All right, now on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. All right, and they were 12 men. Let me count, got 12 or not? Okay, all right. So this is Paul coming, and he found these 12 disciples. Never heard about the Holy Spirit. Can you see how Paul put the importance of believing in the Holy Spirit? Right, so he'll mention about water baptism, because we're going to have a water baptism, okay, this April, all right, now. So you have not, okay, made the decision of faith, okay, to be water baptized. Now, my goal today is that you will know who is the Holy Spirit, and when you say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, what are you affirming, all right, and how to receive the Holy Spirit. So some of this probably you have heard, some of you have not heard, all right, and going through, okay, some of the teaching in the Bible, all right, now. So question is, what does it mean when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, covering who is the Holy Spirit and what does Holy Spirit do? All right, now, number one, when we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, you are affirming that, hey, the Holy Spirit is a person. All right, now, what does that mean? All right, now, it means that, okay, if you read the Bible, you will read in the Bible the Holy Spirit, the Bible won't say that it's a it, but it's talking about he. So when you talk about he's a person. Right, if you're already a Christian for many years, then obvious, okay, that you know that, hey, Holy Spirit is a person, all right? But if you're not, then it's not obvious, okay, to you. Now, when the Bible talks about Holy Spirit, it's not the it, and it's also not the force, okay? So sometimes we go, oh, Spirit, oh, God, this force, this power, oh, is this force? Friends, it's not. It's a person, I know we like Star Wars movie, and we want to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, correct? Okay, may the force be with you. Wow, I like that phrase also. May the force, when you go separate, may the force be with you. You know, we like to use those phrases. Okay, now, of course, probably it comes from the word of God. Okay, may the presence of God goes with you. So don't be surprised, okay, there are many people who thought or think, okay, that the Spirit is a kind of mysterious force from heaven. Friends, it is not, all right? So what does the Bible say? Okay, the Bible says the Holy Spirit in a person. How? All right, so let me give you this some of a scripture reference that you can take a photo or something like that, all right? Or you go to online, then you take a snap of the screen, okay, which is easier. Now, Acts 13 verse 2 says about Holy Spirit speaks. So we are talking about Barnabas and sending off Barnabas and Paul, okay, in that sense. So if you read Acts 13 verse 2, the Bible recorded the Holy Spirit said. So they could actually hear what the Holy Spirit was saying. All right, now, in Acts 2:9, Holy Spirit actually command, okay, tell Philip, hey, Philip, go over, join the chariot, because he was going, and that was this eunuch, okay, on the chariot. And Philip received this order, go! Okay, so he go. Now, how many times of our life, and you think about what's happening, all those, and you hear the unction of the Holy Spirit. Today, we have one example, okay, when Steph, okay, told about, okay, her stories about going to look into the email, okay? Now, Romans 8:27, talk about Holy Spirit has a mind, okay? He who searches hearts and know what is the mind of the Spirit, all right? So the Holy Spirit has a mind. 1 Corinthians 12:11, talk about Holy Spirit has a will. Then he said, all these are empowered by one of the same Spirit who apportioned to each one individually as he will. So the Holy Spirit has a will. All right, now, another one is Ephesians 4:20-30 that says that Holy Spirit can grieve. So we says that do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, okay, whom you will seal for the day of redemption. Wow. In other words, this is talking about a person. Do you have emotion? Are you happy? Can you cry? Can you be sad? Holy Spirit as well. Okay, he can speak. He has a mind. He has a will. So a person has this body, okay, he has mind, soul, okay, a will, emotion. So Holy Spirit is a person, all right? So that, all this, okay, attribute, okay, of the personality of the Holy Spirit that was described, okay, in the New Testament, all right? Not a force, not an impersonal power, okay, that, like you, when you see too much movie or anime and all those, wow. So when you pray, you... I don't know. Do you do that? You know, when you pray for someone, I have an encounter. I'm not say encounter lah. I was partnered with this buddy when I was in Singapore to pray. Okay, for people who are demon possessed and all those. And this young man was so funny. All right. So when we were praying together, oh, it's okay. I see. We take turns. Okay, because we were having the church was having a conference. Okay, talking about the Holy Spirit and the demon and all those, all right? So at the end of the day, okay, we Bible school students, we're supposed to pray. So we partnered with this person, was so young, and yeah, that was funny to me. Okay, now, so we take turns, okay, to pray because so many people wanted to be prayed. So I say, okay, your turn now. So he prayed like that. In the name of Jesus. Then I saw him, I said, after it done, right? I said, where you learn that from? Okay, he used to be part of a gangster reserve, all right, in Singapore, and they do all kind of things. So that caught on him when he prayed, he will do like this. Okay, please don't do so. Okay, now, let's move on. Okay, now, next one. Okay, the Holy Spirit is God, all right? This is talking about deity of the Holy Spirit. Okay, not only the Holy Spirit is a person, he is a divine person, all right? Now, Holy Spirit is God. Now, how do we know that? Now, the account of Ananias and Sapphira is a famous account that people or Christians explain, okay, that to say that Holy Spirit is God. Now, this story of Ananias and Sapphira, okay, is very interesting in the sense, okay, the story of Ananias, did I put here? Okay. All right, so the story of Ananias, okay, and Sapphira. Some of you have read the story, some of you have not. Now, this story is very scary. All right. Now, it's a story about the person named Ananias, his wife Sapphira, because they sold a piece of property. Now, What happened was, when they sold it, they kept back, okay, some of the proceeds. Okay, when they bring before the apostles' feet, okay, they kept back. That means they did not tell. They were lying, okay? They didn't tell, okay, the whole story. So when it comes to verse 3, Peter said this, okay? Say, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceed, okay, of the land? All right? So this is what Peter said, okay, to Ananias. Okay, what it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? Doesn't that all belongs to you? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to a man, but to God. And Peter was referring to the Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay, when Ananias heard that this word, he fell down and breathed his last. Friends, he don't even have time to explain. He don't even have time to tell what has happened. Friends, he dropped it and died. Okay, that is only part one. And now the part two of story is from 7 to 11. After an interval of about 3 hours, so the people have come in and carried the body away, all right, to be buried. And here comes, okay, his wife. And not knowing what had happened, Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. So she lied again, all right, now. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And verse 10, immediately, okay, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. No chance to explain, though. Very scary, friends. So when people don't treat, okay, the Holy Spirit as God, okay, and then verse 11 says that great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Wow, Holy Spirit is God. Is when you read this story, wow, no play when it comes to the Holy Spirit, right? Now, this is where when we choose a life, when you choose a life that is honoring God, okay, choose a life that is pleasing unto the Lord, okay, then why should you be afraid, all right? Now, so when it comes to water baptism, it's also a time that you see the tree or Trinity appear, okay, when Jesus was water baptized. Okay, Jesus was water baptized by John the Baptist. Who spoke from heaven? God the Father. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit came as a dove and graced the occasion. Friends, in Matthew 28, okay, talk about, go therefore, make disciples, okay, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have water baptism. So when pastor baptizes you, what pastor going to do? I'm going to say, by the confession of your faith, now I baptize you, your name. If your name is two syllable. If you got your name is so long, then I'll also have to say your name that long, all right? And the rest will just have to wait, lah. Okay? So, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, so the doctrine of Trinity is clearly stated, okay, whenever you see the Father, okay, the Father is the God, Son, Jesus is God, Holy Spirit is God, all right? Now, let's move on, So, we're going to talk about what does Holy Spirit do? Now, Holy Spirit is the helper. Now, very interesting how the Bible puts it, all right? Now, you can read John. John is just interesting. John 14, 15, 16, you can read them. Here states that, when Jesus said that, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Another helper. What does that mean by another helper? Jesus is. Now, Jesus said another. When you have another, means it's of the same. Okay, someone that of the same. Now, John 14, 26, but the helper, who's that? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, okay, all that I have said to you. All right, now, let me draw your attention that when he said another helper, in Greek it's called parakletos. Okay, para means of the same, okay, that comes together. I know y'all maybe sing the song Para Para and all those, okay, everybody follow same, okay, now, so parakaleo, so which means, okay, I'm missing the one A. All right, now. So when you think of the Holy Spirit, hey, he's a counselor. The meaning of parakletos in Greek means he's a counselor. Okay, how many of us need counselor? How many of us need helper? Wow, all of us need helper, right? I know what's in your mind. Okay, helper in the house, help you to clean the house, I know. But this is not the cleaning your house. Okay, clean the house, please hire someone. Okay, now. You're talking about a counselor. When you're in need of help, okay, this is a court terminology, okay, as a judge, as a counsel for defense, okay, as a legal assistant, okay, who is called to the court as a legal advisor, the advocate, so counselor, advocate, the comforter, the mediator, the intercessor. Wow, when I hear story of Ned talking about him meeting a counselor or a lawyer, that was a season meal, and I just keep on watching this Korean drama on all the lawyer one. Wow, you can really learn and become a lawyer just watching that. Okay, now, anyway. John 15. Okay, so this is all about Holy Spirit. He's the helper. He powerful. Okay, you got to know this Holy Spirit. All right, now. And then, he's also the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. Verse chapter 16, you can read about the Spirit of God that he will guide, okay, you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. And then he says that he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me when he will take what is mine and declare to you. So when you think about Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of truth. He bears witness. So sometimes when you are unclear whether this is true or not, ask the Holy Spirit, check the Bible. Okay? He will guide you. He will declare things that are to come and he will glorify you. You know, sometimes, even for a pastor, I bring a leader that go along. Okay, now, so when we pray for someone, we really need the Holy Spirit. Okay, what God is speaking, what Holy Spirit is speaking, how can we pray for someone? Okay, whether the person is in need. Okay, so when you minister for someone, Holy Spirit is your friend. All right, so, you know, human always easily go astray. So we need Holy Spirit to guide us. To do that, you got to yield, okay, to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go to this. Okay, now time's up. Just give me another probably 5 minutes. Okay, go this. Okay, now, historically and biblically, and also in today and in our lives. All right, now, if you look historically and biblically, right, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit's already there. In the day of creation, you read in verse 2, the Holy Spirit already hovering over the creation, all right? You think about how the Israelites was been led. Okay, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was the work of Holy Spirit, okay, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud in the day, all right? You think about the kings. You think about David. You think about Judges. When you read about how the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes upon Gideon, you know, comes upon Jephthah and all those military readers. Okay, you read about the Spirit of God come upon them. Psalmist, when he write, David, okay, and all those that write, the prophets, okay, and then you talk about Nehemiah, you talk about Ezekiel, you talk about Ezra, okay, rebuilding. You read, there's the Holy Spirit working through them. When it comes to New Testament, Holy Spirit is, in a way, everywhere. The birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus at baptism, it was the Holy Spirit that led him to the wilderness. Every miracle that Jesus performed, it was the Holy Spirit. When Jesus at the cross, it was the Holy Spirit. When Jesus resurrected, it's the same power. Okay, there is Jesus, is also the same Holy Spirit, okay, when we ask of him. All right, now, Acts 10:38 recorded this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So it is a witness, it is a statement, okay, even the book of Acts, Luke wrote that. And they all witnessed, the early disciples, they witnessed, okay, how Jesus moved by the Holy Spirit. Can I go to amen? All right, now, what about in our world today? When you look at all things that's happening, friends, we got to work alongside with the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So when you look at things around us, friends, we can get mad and all those. But one of the things that we can pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. When you come, you convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? Some of the prayer that we have, okay, every of our prayer night, okay, in your own personal prayer, please do that, okay, pray. Holy Spirit, come. And you will see the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, okay, to bring men and women to a place of personal conviction. And okay, quicken, okay, their moral good, okay, concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay, now, for us, friends, I did not have to elaborate, but you can take a snapshot. Holy Spirit, what's Holy Spirit doing in our life? So if we just know, okay, you know, but do you believe that? That he comes and baptizes us in the world. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, he baptizes you into the family of God. He indwells. Where does he live? Indwell. Okay, he gives you spiritual gifts. Today we hear from Stack talk about the five gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gives to you. He produces that gift, that fruit. He sealed you. You know, when the moment you accept Christ, he sealed you. I don't know. There's a spiritual tattoo. I think, tung. Okay, now, I don't know. Okay, the seal. He creates unity. Okay, Ephesians 4:3 is how, okay, we make every effort, okay, to keep the unity of the Spirit. He pour out his love. He enable us. He pray. Okay, when you do not know how to pray, Holy Spirit, groaning. How many of you come to a place that you just do not know how to pray? Well, you just have to depend on Holy Spirit. There are times that the words alone cannot just describe. Friends, Holy Spirit, go with the Holy Spirit. All right, now, in every nation world, we want to emphasize this. The Holy Spirit given us is to empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. When you receive the power, it's not the power to show off. The power is to go, okay, and be a witness. Okay, the power not to fall into sin. The power of the saving grace upon us. Okay, the grace of God that's upon us, okay, to reach, okay, those, okay, things where you come that, ayah, I cannot lah, I cannot, so tired lah, this and that lah, friends. The Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit, okay, will quicken you, okay, to do the things of God. Okay, good, amen? Yes, all right. No time for tell story already now. You can receive and feel with the power of Holy Spirit, amen? The moment, okay, there are many thoughts about receiving Holy Spirit. So when you come to know Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, all right? But the Bible talks about be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you already receive. Yes, I already receive. But there's also a moment that you need to feel. So it's things like probably some of us have got lubang, you know. The Lord fills you and you use up, or there's a leakage, okay, that happened. Now, Paul, in telling the Ephesus church, okay, say, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but fill with the Spirit. So when it comes to worshiping God, in your own human nature, why would you want to worship God? When you look at the chicken, how do they form their church and worship God? All right, Bible talks about fill with His Spirit and worship God. Now, when it comes to singing, well, how come this person can sing? How come this person's closed eye also can sing? Well, this person raised hand and then become so touched of the Lord. How come, friends? It's how you engage the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. What He will do? Okay, addressing one another in psalms and hymns. I don't know. One of the day, you probably, when you go home, when you talk to your brother and sister, you talk to your husband and wife, you start singing, hello, okay, from the other side. Okay, now, hymns, preacher songs, singing, making melody, giving thanks, okay, for everything the God, the Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right? So, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, okay. Now, we just come back. We will short time. Okay, let's pray. Amen. Now, how many of you are talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongue? Now, today there are a few thoughts, okay? Now, throughout the historical that has taken place in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came down, and then where there's a movement of the Pentecostal, okay, a charismatic world, all right, that each time when you baptize on the Holy Spirit, you baptize and you have the evidence of speaking in tongue. Now they were talking about the third wave, okay, that says not necessary that you speak in tongues. Okay, so there are this school of thoughts that's taking place. So when we pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with us, we are evident of speaking in tongues, praise the Lord. If you do not, okay, it's fine. There's no condemnation, okay, if you do not speak in other tongues. All right? Okay, huh? Let's all arise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sorry for the overshot of time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. I pray right now, okay, in your name, oh Jesus. Okay, for many of us who already baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay, let's spend some time praying in tongues for a while. If you do, thank you, Lord. Kura ba 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 ba. Shukura ba kiriya dalabahande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for all those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that your unction of the Holy Spirit to empower each and everyone once again, Lord. Father, to do the things, oh God, that you have called us to do. Father, today I pray, Lord God, that we are not only near you, but Father, that you indwell your Holy Spirit in us. You empower us, oh God, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we will fulfill, oh God, what you call us to do, okay, to go and fulfill the Great Commission. Father, I ask of such a bonus of spirit to come upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I do not know how many of us here, you know, you have not baptized the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about be filled. Okay, if you are, I want you to raise your hand as well. Okay, where you are. You are right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for those, Lord, okay, yearn for the Holy Spirit and wanting to be filled with your Holy Spirit today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord, come. You are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Baptize each and every one of them in Jesus' name. Everyone, let's pray in tongues for a few seconds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I give thanks. If where we are, how you empower us, how you dwell in us. Thank you, Jesus. I choose to believe, okay, in the Holy Spirit. And everyone say, amen. Give Jesus a big hand.